We're talking about kids and sleep here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Academy of Pediatrics recommends that middle and high school students start school at 8:30 or later to give teens a better chance to get the amount of sleep they need. Madison's school district is undergoing a three-year process to move middle school start times later, 8:40 to be exact. So parents and teachers, what do you think about moving start times later or possibly earlier for some elementary schools as busing schedules are sorted out? Students, join in. If you're not sleeping and you have the time before school starts, we're at 800-642-1234. Sarah Sparks is with Education Week, and she's an assistant editor covering education research. Her blog is called Inside School Research. Sarah, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. It's good to be here.
So why has the trend of starting school later in the morning, why has that been catching on in recent years?
Well, I think school leaders are starting to think more about the science around how adolescents sleep. Adolescents sleep on a later sleep cycle, a circadian rhythm, than kids in elementary school do or adults do. And they have different needs to be able to be bright and up and happy and ready to learn in the morning.
Okay, so what does that rhythm mean? When do they fall asleep?
So right around adolescence, students can shift in their sleep cycle to really not start getting tired until 10 or 11 at night. And as a result, they also tend to wake up mentally also a good bit later. So they're really starting to wake up maybe 9:30, not 7 or 7:30. And if you add in all of the technology that they're using now that releases blue light, which approaches our brains like bright morning sunlight, it can also shift their sleep even later on top of that.
So how did we get here? Do we know why school start times have been in place for decades?
Really, tradition. I mean, 50 years ago, we didn't know as much about these sort of developmental sleep patterns. We certainly didn't have as much technology. And schools were designed originally for an agricultural calendar and a factory mode for the schedule. So they just thought early, regimented, when the bell rings, get everybody in, get everybody out. And most of the schedules were designed around the adult logistics of how to get the buses in, how to get the school schedule for the day set. And those things don't really take into account kids' developmental needs.
Yeah, but logistics are such a huge issue. You look at the busing schedules, and especially in large districts, and then you have the contact hours with the students, and you have what time lunch can be, and even after school, you know, the after school services, all of that is like a domino effect.
Absolutely. And in many of the school districts that I've seen that have experimented with starting school later or changing school schedules between the high school and middle school versus the elementary school, often they've seen very good grade effects, and kids are getting better grades. They're getting to school on time more frequently. They're getting to school at all more frequently. But what will end up causing problems with sustaining those efforts is they just get a lot of pushback in terms of when are we going to schedule the sports and the extracurricular activities? How are we going to manage the bus schedule? And sometimes parents not wanting their little kids, their elementary students, going that early, and they figure it's easier for the teenagers to go. But frankly, the exact opposite is true from a biological perspective. Little kids are usually easier to get up in the morning than teenagers. But these logistical issues end up causing a lot more problems.
Oh, the logistical issues often override the reason we really want to have these start times later for our teenagers. So here in Wisconsin, the second largest school district, Madison, has a few middle and high schools starting classes at 8:40 now, and some certain elementary schools will start at 7:50. What is your take on having different grade levels start at different times?
That seems to be a really common approach. And if you look, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends no earlier start time than 8:30 for adolescents. For younger students, an earlier start time is okay. And if you've ever been a parent of 5 to 7-year-olds, as I have, they get up quite early, right on their own.
No problem there, right? Sarah, what about lower-income students or rural school districts? How can adjusting to a new start time look different in that case?
That was something that's been really fascinating. If you look at districts like Seattle that has done a very careful study of moving school start times around, one of the really interesting things they found was low-income students and students who had longer commutes, they benefited the most from having these later start times. And it makes sense if you think about it. If students have a longer commute, which many low-income students do, or students who have to take multiple buses, multiple public transportation options to school, or they have family responsibilities and they're getting their younger brothers and sisters to school before they get to school, those kids are not only waking up as all kids are waking up for school, they're probably waking up an hour or two earlier than that to get everybody else taken care of before they get to school. And so they might be getting up as teenagers with a later sleep cycle, they might be getting up at 5 or 4 in the morning and getting just an extra hour of sleep anywhere they can get it really makes a big difference.
We're looking at trends in school start times with Sarah Sparks. She's an assistant editor covering education research at Education Week. You can join in. How do you see a good night's sleep affecting classroom performance? Would you prefer waking up at a later time in the morning? And athletes, would later school start times affect your practices or your games? What are your thoughts here? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Sarah, what do school officials usually say as for reasons to start school later? What are the health effects on teenagers when you put the clock back earlier for them to start?
So there was one study fairly recently in which they asked ninth graders to keep a checklist of all their daily activities, like when were they studying, how much were they doing extracurricular activities, and particularly how much they slept. And then they repeated that process in 10th and 12th grades. And they found that the students who were sleeping less, they reported much more trouble getting to class, understanding their lessons, struggling on tests and assignments. They also found that they were more likely to have confusion and depressed moods and other emotional issues. And these kids, even when they were taking that time that could have gone to sleep to study or do enrichment activities, it was the benefits of those were being outweighed by losing sleep to do it. Even losing sleep to study wasn't worth the sleep lost in terms of achieving on tests.
NPR talked with the University of Washington, a biology professor there, Horacio de la Iglesia, and he says starting school later is more in line with the natural wake-up times for teenagers. Let's listen.
You can send them to sleep, but they will lay in bed and they will not fall asleep. They will not be able to biologically fall asleep until midnight at least.
Until midnight. So if a student's not falling asleep until midnight, their next day could have, their next day could be miserable.
And frequently is. It would be funny to see if all teenagers were really getting 8 or 9 hours of sleep, even up to 10 hours of sleep, which is really their optimal sleep time, whether they would be quite as moody as teenagers are typically seen to be. But there are even districts at this point that who have not been able to schedule later start times, who are going as far as to set a study hall period first thing in the morning and letting kids nap, because it can be that severe that kids will be falling asleep in the middle of class. There was a recent survey by the Sleep Foundation that found 20% of parents of middle schoolers, so this is early adolescents, they were falling asleep in class on a regular basis because of a lack of sleep.
Middle schoolers falling asleep in class. They've also experimented, I think, in some high schools with these sleep cells where you can just put yourself in this cocoon for a while.
And it can really help. And again, particularly students who are the most vulnerable are the most in need of these sorts of supports. I have seen schools that are trying to be more supportive of students who have histories of trauma or very disruptive home lives. And often if they are uncomfortable at night or not feeling safe or not having a stable place to sleep, they're even more in need of getting sleep during the school day. And so if they don't have a later start time, I've seen school counselors and school nurses ending up letting kids sleep for 20 minutes during the day because it gets that bad, the sleep deficit.
Sarah Sparks is with Education Week. We're looking at school start times with you, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. You're with us in the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're looking at this trend going on, moving start times later at schools. Here's Madison's chief of school operations, Mike Herding, explaining the move last year.
The main catalyst for the change to a later start time for our middle school students was our own parents, who we've heard for the last several years that our current start time, 7:35, is too early for their middle school children. It does not work for them.
Does your child attend a school that has a new start time? What grade are they in? How is that change going? Are there conflicts you didn't expect? Is waking up later helping your teen feel better in the morning? 800-642-1234. Education Week's Assistant Editor of Education Research, Sarah Sparks, stays with us. Let's go to the phones now. Rick is joining us from Baraboo. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
So what's on your mind here?
Yeah, this is a very interesting topic for me as a former health and exercise physiology professor, and also as a parent, as a coach, et cetera. So what I'm learning is, or what we know is that the circadian rhythms, while kind of set by age groups, can also be adjusted. We know that because we have people that work second shift jobs, third shift jobs, and go throughout their lives really well. And what I seem to find is that this generation, the group of parents that have grown up in the 70s and 80s, I think we're dropping the ball with our kids, mainly because we grew up when there was really nothing on TV. You know, there was the news and Johnny Carson, and that was pretty boring to most of us. So what'd you do? You went to bed. And I think what we're doing is we've got more and more entertainment for kids, more and more options for kids.
Way too much stimuli.
Yeah, and we're letting our kids stay up later than we would have done in our generation. And I believe that that's definitely affecting things. Now, I'm not a big fan of school starting at, 7:15, 7:25, 7:30. But I think 8 o'clock is a reasonable start time especially if we can get our kids actually to bed. With my kids, it's by 9 o'clock, electronics are off. And by 10 o'clock, you can see those kids are, my kids are, they're tired. They're ready to fall asleep, and they fall asleep within minutes of going to bed. And I think that we just need to do a better job. Our generation has sort of dropped the ball on some of this stuff, either from not knowing or lack of information, or just not being, you know, that solid parent saying, hey, this is your bedtime. And I see that with my current students. Some of them staying up
Rick,
till 1, 2, 3 in the morning.
Rick, thanks so much for these observations. Sarah, 9 p.m., electronics off, 10 p.m., lights out, and kids are asleep.
Absolutely. One of the biggest trends that we see is as we have increased the screen time, and particularly not even the television screen time, but the laptop and phone and all of that, those provide different types of light and can very much keep students up later. Really good sleep hygiene makes a big difference. And as he mentioned, the turning off everything and getting the lights lower, really it should be about an hour before you expect kids to start going to sleep. And one of the rules I've seen that seems to help a fair bit is if the sun is out, if the sun has gone down, then the different machines and televisions and laptops and everything that have light that mimics the sun should also be out.
So that should be everything should kind of be in sync as their world is growing darker. Let's go to Ed now in Minocqua. Hi, Ed.
Hi. My comment was there seems to be not enough focus on the relationship between parents and children, because parents in today's world, as for many years, have had problems. They have to go to work. They have schedules themselves. And and children, especially at the high school level, should start adjusting for the life ahead of them, which will be you cannot have the best circadian rhythm. You have to adjust, and then because these are going to be parents too one day.
Ed, thanks so much for those thoughts. And Sarah, what about adjusting to the work world where, you know, a parent may not be able to adjust their schedule when their child goes from, you know, a 7:50 start time to 8:40 now when they're supposed to be at work at 8 o'clock?
Mm-hmm. And I'll say two things on that. One, from the kid's perspective, the good thing about the sleep cycle adjustment is it returns. Both younger children and adults by sort of early 20s, their sleep cycle is shifting back. So then they are better able to get up earlier and get into work at a decent time as they get older. It's really associated with adolescence. But it is absolutely true that schools and districts have to work with parents to get these systems, to get any changes with schools set, but particularly changes that involve start times and parents' work times. In fact, there were about 40 different school districts, as well as the entire state of Rhode Island, who are all looking at ways to let principals find ways to adjust their school bus routes to take into account their changing populations. And very frequently, a school district's bus routes are set at some point, and then they stay that way for decades, even as populations, families come into one area or leave another area. And one of the things that they found was even though the system was more efficient, was less expensive by a good bit, and was also better in terms of affording older students these later start times, parents were very difficult to convince, and the school districts that were able to make it work had parents that were informed and given options for childcare for younger students or different busing routes that would also allow after school programs. So getting parents on board and making sure that parents are able to deal with the rest of their obligations while also getting their kids to school, that makes a huge difference.
Let's bring in Noah now in Teresa. Hi, Noah.
Hello. I just wanted to comment. I don't think a lot of people think about high school age students and their part-time jobs along with extracurriculars and also doing studying and homework. That takes up a lot of time during the week, and that is also another reason as to why people, younger people, don't get to sleep, especially for lower middle-class families. So that's my comment, and I just wanted you guys to elaborate on that.
Noah, what is your situation like?
All through high school, I worked since I was 15. We're a lower middle class family. So, you know, that was 30 hours a week. And then, you know, I was a AP student. So I took all these AP courses and was very involved in school and theater as well. So those all took up a lot of time. I didn't get to bed till about 1 or 2 in the morning every single day of the week. So
lots on your plate there, Noah. Thank you for your story. Sarah, we have just a few moments. What do you hear from Noah?
I hear very similar things from teenagers either who have jobs or who have a lot of extracurricular work or schoolwork. The amount of schoolwork over a week for high schoolers has increased by about an hour a week over the last decade. And I often see teenagers will try to recoup that sleep over a weekend, but studies have shown that that really doesn't work. Once you've lost sleep, you've lost it. And trying to just make up sleep where you can lead to something that's kind of akin to jet lag for students. It's very difficult if students don't have a very regular sleep schedule.
Sarah, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Sarah Sparks is with Education Week. She's an assistant editor covering education research, and her blog is called Inside School Research. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.